Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to share some things with you myself today. I've gotten some questions from folks writing in for my column that appears in the Daytona Beach News Journal. And also, I've done a couple of recent talks, seminars, that have given me some interesting questions. So I'm going to share those with you. So in case you didn't read the column, or in case you haven't been to one of my financial talks, I will give you the benefit of that as you're doing what you're doing, listening to the radio. Here are some things that other people have asked that you might have some of the same questions. So I made a list for you. All right. So you're trying to figure out how to invest. Market's up, market's down, market's up, market's up, market's up. Whatever's going on, you're trying to figure out how to invest. And, you know, there's a natural tendency that when things are, it's the way we think, and it's from the field of behavioral economics, there's a natural tendency to put a lot of weight on what's been happening recently. So, for example, if the stock market's been going up substantially, we give that a lot of weight in our minds when we think about what things might look like in the future. We can't help it. It's just the way our minds work. Now, we can, of course, take a very deliberate process of understanding that about how we think, and then have a more of a deliberate process of deciding how we're going to invest. So in that framework, you look at where the market is and you try to figure out what to do. And so the question I've gotten recently a few times is, well, I'm trying to figure out how to invest. The first question I need to ask is, how much should I put into things that can go up and down? And it's not the up we're worried about, it's the down we're worried about, right? So how much money do I put in something that can go down, those risky, non-safe assets? And then how much do I put into things that are safer? How do I figure that out for me, for myself? And then how do I figure out which types of investments within each of those categories do I pick? All right, so I need about 3 hours. No, I'll do this quickly. First, let's talk about how to figure out how much should be safe versus not safe. Now, there's an old rule called the rule of 100. If you've listened to my program before, you know I talk about this sometime. And basically what you do is you take 100, you subtract your age, and that tells you how much of your money can go into, or that you should think about putting into, things that can go up and down in value. So if you're 65, that means that 35% of your money can go into things that are risky, and 65, your age, goes into things that are safer. So safe for your age, and then the rest can go into more aggressive or volatile or up and down moving investments. So in a very simple example, you could put 35% into stocks and 65% into cash. In the simplest example, that would be having 35% exposed to something go up and down in value and something that's going to pretty much sit there. Now, there are a lot more choices in that. And of course, somebody's 50, maybe it's 50-50. Somebody is younger, say they're 30, then maybe it's 70% into the more aggressive and 30% not. Now, that's a very, very general rule, and you should never, I don't think anyone should ever invest strictly based on that rule. You have to think about your situation, your personal comfort level with risk. You know, somebody putting 35% of their money into the market who's 65 may not sleep at all if they do that. They just may be uncomfortable with that. And so you have to think about that, your comfort level. You need to think about other sources of income you have. If you rental property, you have a pension, you've got a spouse that's working, you're going to get a large inheritance, at least you think you're going to, or it's very likely. You're going to sell your home, which has a lot of equity, and you're going to downsize. All of those things would affect how you go about making that decision. And I can also tell you, I've had people that come in that seem very similar, may choose, and with some guidance, decide on a more aggressive versus more conservative portfolio. Now, once you've made that determination, and of course, this is what advisors do. I do this every day working with people. Once you figure out that overall allocation, I'm going to have X amount in cash. I'm going to use X amount to address maybe paying off some debt. I might need to get some long-term care insurance. You address those things, then you look at the rest of the money and say, all right, I'm going to divvy this up between things that are at risk, that I may experience a loss, and things that are not going to be at risk, where I can't afford that loss. And once you do that, then the next thing you need to do is figure out within each of those broad categories you're going to invest in. Most people, it's not going to make sense for them to put you know, half the money in cash and half the money straight into stocks. There are a lot of other choices. So what I want to do is I want to break that down for you. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, I'm going to go through your at-risk choices and your not-at-risk or safer choices. Stay tuned.
Did you know living longer could be the death of your retirement? According to the U.S. Census Bureau, babies born today can expect to live until an average age of 78. Whether you're retiring today, tomorrow, or in 20 years, you must ask yourself, will your retirement plan go the distance? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we are back. So let's continue our conversation or my dissertation or monologue on safe versus not safe and how to invest. So we've narrowed it down. We figure out how much we want to put into the different categories of investing, safe versus not. And so then what do you do? Start with the one that may be a little trickier to understand, and that is, where do you put your money to have it be safe? Well, I'm going to break it down for you. The truth is there are not that many choices. There are a lot more choices over on the at-risk, not-so-safe side. So let's start with the things that are safe. And now I'm going to put a big asterisk in the air. There I go, big asterisk in the air. That is going to say that if you have a financial asset, it's in the financial system, right? And the financial system itself has risk. So if the entire financial system collapses, okay, and we go back to a barter system of trading, you know, medical supplies for chicken eggs, I mean, or whatever, then what I'm going to describe about safe kind of goes out the window. But assuming our financial system stays intact, okay, then here are your safe choices. Sometimes people call them safe money choices. Cash. Now, that could be cash in your safe, cash in a tin cup buried in your backyard, could be cash in the bank. Now, cash buried in your backyard, people in Greece found out the hard way. They took a bunch of money out of the banks and they hid it in the backyard. And there was a crime wave went across the country of people going and looking and knowing that the people had done this, and a lot of people had their money stolen. So that is a risk of having the actual physical custody of cash. Put it in your safe. Hey, if the ATMs don't work and you want to have some cash money on hand, I get that, and that makes sense to me. Cash money in your bank account. Okay, now I know that cash sitting in the bank account doesn't make hardly anything. In fact, they might be charging you a service fee. And I also know that if there's inflation, that if you have $100,000 at the beginning of the year and there's 3% inflation, then you have in effect $97,000 or so at the end of the year adjusted for inflation. But the $100,000 is still there. Okay. And you have FDIC insurance and all of that. So that is a basic safety place. Then you've got money markets, you've got CDs. Yes, I know they don't pay a lot of money when the interest rates are as low as they have been, but it's still safe. Those are three safe places. What else can you do? You can do bonds. There are two risks, though, that you need to be aware of with bonds that can make them not safe. So in general, they are safe with a couple of caveats, two major caveats: interest rate risk and default risk. Well, what is that? Well, interest rate risk is the risk that you buy a 10-year bond because you're trying to get a good return, a good yield, and let's say that bond's going to pay you, just as an example, let's say it's going to pay you 4%, okay? Then you're going to earn 4% on your bond every year until it matures, and then they're going to give you back the face amount of the bond. And that's perfect. That's fine. That's good. But if you sell your bond during the 10-year period, because you need the money, something's come up, and interest rates have gone up, let's say interest rates have gone up 2%, then you could lose as much as 20% on selling that bond. Well, wait a minute, I thought bonds were safe. Well, you hold the maturity, they're safe, but if you sell them before maturity, then you could experience a loss, because if interest rates have gone up, new bonds are paying a higher interest rate. The market automatically reduces the value of your bond to give it the same return for somebody else if they were to buy it. That's an automatic re-evaluation or valuation of your bond's value. The second risk, which a lot of people don't always think about, is the default risk. If you put $10,000 into 10 bonds instead of perhaps buying a bond mutual fund, then you are risking that bond issuer, the corporation, the government, whatever it may be, is going to be around to give you your money you put in at the end of the term. That's default risk. So if you put your money into a corporation, I don't know, for example, say General Motors, and General Motors is not there in 10 years, you don't get your money back. That $10,000 is gone. Now, one of the ways to combat that is to not use individual bonds, but to, and for many investors, this makes a lot of sense, is to diversify using a bond mutual fund, because then you might have that bond fund might own 300 or more bonds inside it that the bond manager is buying, and that gives you a lot of diversification. In that situation, if one of those bonds in that bond portfolio blows up, they default, they go out of business, WorldCom, Lehman Brothers, Enron, any of those ring a bell? Yeah, if one of those companies goes under, as part of a bond mutual fund, you won't know it unless you read the paper. You won't see it hit your portfolio because it's a very small percentage. It's less than 1% of your portfolio's value. But if you owned Enron bonds or Lehman Brothers bond or WorldCom bond, then you're going to know it because you'll see that bond go to zero on your brokerage statement. So bonds can be a safe place, but you need to understand those risks associated. My recommendation for a lot of people, if they're going to do bonds, is to look to bond mutual funds. Now, what else can you do safe? Well, you'll find out right after this break.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back. I know that was a heck of a tease to come back after the break, but I was running up against a break, and Lisa will start getting after me if I go long on my segments. But so what are the places you can put money that's safe? We talked about cash, money market, CDs. We talked about bonds. What else? Well, next up, we'll look to the insurance companies. Two types of annuities are what most people consider to be safe investments or safe places to put your money. And they're technically not investments. They are savings vehicles, and they are issued by insurance companies, so that makes them an insurance product. A fixed annuity, a fixed interest annuity, a traditional fixed rate annuity, or an index annuity. A fixed annuity, you put your money in, that's called premium, and when you put it in there, you are putting it in there for a term of years that you agree to hold the money with the company. Most let you take up to 10% out each year as you want for income, and you will earn a fixed rate, an interest rate that is declared or specified when you set your annuity up. And then it may be guaranteed for a set number of years, or it may be that they change it once a quarter, once a year, based on interest rates, maybe based on how their portfolio performs. But your money that you put in, plus any earnings you have, are considered safe. Now, here's another asterisk. Based on the claims paying ability of that insurance company. If you put your money into an insurance company, and it is very low rated, but they've enticed you because their rates are higher, then if they default, meaning if they can't pay their bills, then you may have a problem. And it may take, you may not get your money back, or it may take a very long time to get your money back because of a state guarantee pool. So be careful with the insurance company you choose. I'm biased. I like big, well-rated insurance companies. Guilty. And so that's but the fixed annuity, the fixed interest rate annuity is a safe vehicle. It might be a good alternative to those maturing CDs that you're going to get a whopping 1% renewal rate on. You may be able to do better with a fixed interest rate annuity. You might also think about, for safety, a fixed index annuity. Same thing as the fixed interest rate, but instead of giving you a fixed interest for your money, the interest varies. And the interest varies, you heard the word index, it varies according to the performance of a stock market index. That doesn't mean your money's invested in the market. Your principal's with the company, the money is safe. The only thing, quote unquote, that is at risk is the interest you earn each year. So let's say you could go into a fixed annuity and earn, say, just as an example, say you could earn 3%. Or instead of that 3%, you could go into the index annuity and you could earn, instead of 3, you might earn 0 to 8% or 5% or 6%, depending on what the market does. So it's literally the bird in hand versus two in the bush. And some annuities will let you do a combination of both. So, but both of these types of annuities are safe money options for the investor, for the person trying to put money ahead for retirement, because that's the way you want to look at these. You want to look at it something toward retirement. You got 10 years before you retire and you want to put some money into something that will be safe and will be there to give you income when you retire. Those are some good options. So here's the reality though. A lot of people I work with, we use all of the above, okay? Cash, got to have money for emergencies. We want some bonds. I'm going to prefer bond funds. I'm also going to watch the maturities of those bonds, go shorter. Don't really want to go long term because we are at the bottom of the interest rate cycle. And if interest rates jump up and we put ourselves into some real long term bonds through mutual funds, we're going to have a problem just as we would if we had purchased individual bonds. And then consider the annuities for safety and for income. Now, what about the rest of our pie chart? You know, we've been talking about the safe part and that portion that, you know, that we think is going to fit to meet our needs. All right. What about the other portion that can be at risk? What do we do for that? Well, that's easy. That's everything else. Okay. Stocks, mutual funds that invest in stocks, real estate, commodities, gold. What else? Options, any of the fancy stuff. Those are all the things over on the other side of the equation that are the at-risk. Now, I'm a big fan of diversification. Whatever you do on the at-risk side, whether it's 35, 50, 20% of what you're doing, I still think that should be diversified so that you can be aggressive without being reckless. Does that make sense? You can put your money into something where you can be more aggressive. You can have 100% of your money on that portion, that 35% that's in the market, all of it can be in stocks, not in real estate, not anything else. But you want to make sure it's diversified. All right, time for another quick break. Come back. Let's talk a little bit about gold. Stay tuned.
Creating a world with less cancer takes a team effort. It takes survivors and caregivers and regular folks like you and me who all unite at Relay for Life. This year, nearly 4 million people nationwide will come together to celebrate, remember, and fight back. We're the American Cancer Society, the official sponsor of birthdays. Visit us at relayforlife.org.
Oh, all that glitters is gold, right? Something like that. Well, you know, if you've been paying attention, watching the markets, gold, I'm going to see if I can pull a current number for you, but it's been below 1400. Yeah. Right now, just a quick reference here. Yeah, we're down below $1,400 an ounce on gold. Wow. Okay. Here's my question to you if you're thinking about getting gold or if you have gold, and I'm not here to beat you up and say, boy, that was dumb. That's not what I'm about. I want people to think about gold. There's a couple different ways people buy gold or look to gold. Gold is seen as a crisis hedge. Some people call it an inflation hedge. I tend to think of it more as a crisis hedge. Things are really rotten. People are looking for some form of safety. That's another. And I could have talked about that when I was talking about safe options. But the reason I didn't categorize it in safe is because of what it's been doing. It's a commodity. It can drop like a rock. It can drop like lead, right? Not far from it on the the atomic table. So let's talk about gold in this perspective. If you are looking at gold as an investment, you don't want to put a lot of money into it because it can be very volatile. And the thing that really drives me bonkers, if I'm honest with you, about gold investing, it's nothing wrong with having some, but I get upset when I hear about people putting a lot of money into any one thing, and I don't really care what it is. You shouldn't put all your money into an annuity. You shouldn't put all your money into one stock. You shouldn't put all your money into one bond or just a couple of bonds. A gentleman just popped into my head. He came to me. He had $400,000 invested in two bonds. We don't do that. Okay. But with gold, don't get sucked into the pitchmen on TV or on the internet. I get a lot of emails, so I have to tell you, I get one from a guy that seems like a nice guy. I've talked to him. I don't think he is a bad guy. I think he believes in what he does, but I have not seen one email come from him that says, now is the time to sell your gold. Why is that? Well, it's an easy answer, okay? If you're selling bananas, you're not going to tell people to stop buying bananas, are you? It's what he sells. It's what he does. So whenever you hear the pitch with gold, it's always from the folks that are selling it. They're not going to say, hey, you know what? It's time for you to get out of gold. They'll always send you emails with links to some article or somebody somewhere who's supposed to be an expert on these matters, self-proclaimed usually, and telling you why the world is going to fall apart tomorrow, so act now, buy today, get your gold from me. That's what they say. So the reality is it's an investment, it is a commodity, it is something that can go down. Please don't put more than 3 to 5% into gold. I don't have a problem with you holding it, taking physical custody, make sure you have somewhere to store it, but why are you doing that? Is it because you think that things really are going to end, or that we're going to have a major economic meltdown? Then go all the way. Your gold's not going to be worth anything to me. I don't want it. If things are really bad, I don't want it. You'll be better off with that lead in shotgun shells and ammunition than you will be with gold, because that'll be worth a lot more. If I've got medical supplies, or I've got a chicken coop popping out chicken eggs that I can sell to you or trade to you, I'll take the ammo or medical supplies or something else that's going to take care of me, my family, those that I care about, then I am worried about your gold. If that's what you're really worried about, an Armageddon situation. But if it's an investment, then use the same investment principles you would on other types of investments, mutual funds, stocks, things like that. Don't put too much in any one thing. Because before Enron blew up, it was a darling of Wall Street. Everybody loved it. They couldn't get enough of it. The employees were mortgaging their homes. The employees who knew more about the company than we do or did at the time, the investing public, they were there. They were watching what was going on. They took second mortgages. They put their 401k money, all of that into the company. And we all know the story of Enron. It went to zero. So if they had had 3% or 5% of their money in Enron stock and another 95% somewhere else, guess what? You'd probably still have the other 95%. Okay. Lisa says we're out of time. Thanks for joining me. Be sure to tune in next time.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland, and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.